Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So good to see everyone here this morning. And if you are a guest, it's glad to see you all here as well. And I can always tell when there's something special happening because we have more guests show up because we're having food afterwards. The true turn of a Baptist is showing up when there's food afterwards. I mean, come on. And we also have a special guest here that we're celebrating today, Glenn Coleman. Thank you for being here. Glad you could show up for your own special luncheon. Talking with him earlier, he's like, you know what, maybe I should just said you come visit me and then I'll and bring the food to me instead of me coming here. So we'll see how that goes. But if you are a guest or if you are a visitor, or if you have a prayer concern, if you had a bulletin, there's a side tab right here that you can pull off and put in our offering plates, which is here in the back right here, and also over here in the foyer over here, that's a prayer, offering boxes. And as we go on today, just be in prayer or thinking, if you have a prayer request come up, you can easily drop it off at the end of the service. With that, like I said, we're having an appreciation luncheon right after service. So if you're here, I hope you plan on staying for lunch, because I've been smelling it all day, all morning, and it smells delicious. So I'm hoping I won't speed up too fast so that way I can get to lunch, because I've been told to hold y'all here by a certain time. So I'm going to go slow, and then if all of a sudden I get this speed up, well, guess what? You better be holding on, because we're going to speed up, because I'm going to be hungry, because I can smell it already. Also, the WMU ladies would like to thank everyone who has supported the clothes for kids. We've gotten everything. I saw Sylvia's office. It was four big totes full of stuff. Thank you so much for giving to the cause. It's a great cause, helps everybody who isn't fortunate enough to be able to supply their own stuff with school supplies, and can you imagine, it's only 2 weeks away. Don't sound too excited. I see the kids in the back, they're so excited to go. Also, if you're a guest here, I hope you'll join us next Sunday. We'll be having communion. Deacons, be aware, next Sunday is communion, August 2nd. Then we will not be having senior luncheon this month on August 4th because of elections going on. So if you are planning on coming to luncheon, just go right down here and go to vote, or wherever your voting precinct is, go and vote for that day. Also, business meeting, Wednesday, August 12th. If you are members or if you want to know what's going on in the church, Wednesday, August 12th is the time to show up and have your voice being heard of what you think should happen in the church, but we'll also continue to tell everything that's going on in the church. We don't do business meetings during regular service. It's a special Wednesday night. It's a great time to come out and fellowship, and let alone just hear what the church is, what's going on in the church. Also, special prayer requests for the search committee, transitional committee, as we search for a senior pastor, and also as the church has voted on to going into the transitional pastor mode, we have a few resumes for that. So that search committee will be interviewing them shortly, I hope, and continue to go about that business, and then we'll have them come in and preach for you all for a little bit to see which one you all like. With that, normal things happen this Sunday. We have the worship service, and we also have youth group at 6. So if you're a youth, we still have youth group at 6. Don't give me that look. I understand, yes. Don't be confused. Youth is from middle school to high school. And again, just like young adults, if you feel like you're a youth, come on in. We're more than welcome to join you. Just be prepared to look after 3 more sessions, then we start into Matthew. So we got 3 weeks and then go into Matthew. Children's committee, will you all be meeting this week or no?
I think we're waiting for
it. Okay. No children's committee meeting this week. And then the following Sunday, we just have the normal stuff going on. With that, I will open us up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come today to listen to your word, to listen to what you have to say to us. Your kingdom come, your will be done. As we continue to go through this service, we'll hear what your will is for this church, and that we'll continue to open our eyes, open our hearts, and if you'll just bless us and keep us safe. In your name, amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Let's stand and sing hymn 435, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
To bear, what a privilege to carry
Thank you, AV, for the nice little curveball in that last there verse. Always a great thing to toss in there for me, keep me on my toes. As BJ mentioned, we're having a luncheon immediately following, and I have had my marching orders given as well, but not to speed things up, but to delay. So they've asked us if we can do another hymn, guys. So we're going to do 202, which is Amazing Grace, and we're going to do all five verses.
Just think, it could have been just as I am, all seven verses. Just think about that. But at this time, we come into our prayer of intercession. And if you haven't picked up the prayer list, there's some in the back over here. There's some over here on the table out there. But as we continue to go through our series on the Lord's Prayer, this time in our church service is the most important time, because this is when we can actually open up and speak to our Father. We learned last time we were in this that we have our Father. That's a privilege of access. That means that we have the privilege to speak to Him directly through prayer. But as we look through this prayer list, there's many people on here that are hurting, that are still in need of prayer, that are recovering from different surgeries, all kinds of different people that have been on the list for many, many months. But also remember the ones who aren't able to be here, the ones who are in nursing home care, or the ones who are shut in, or the ones who haven't been able to come out of their house for a very long time because of illnesses or sicknesses or anything like that. Maybe the ones who are watching online today have a special prayer request. With that, I want to ask for a moment of silence so you all can speak to your Father in heaven, and then I will close us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today to say thank you for allowing us to be here, knowing that there's multiple things we could be doing with our lives, but we chose to come here to hear what you have to say, to learn about you, to worship you in song and praise, and together as children, as they gather around the foot of their father, listening to what they have to hear. I ask that you open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds as we go through this time together. In your name, amen.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, church, again. As you can tell, I'm getting my exercise in, at least my steps in, so that's a plus. At least I'm not winded getting up here, so that's a good thing. That's an excellent thing. But if you haven't been with us, we're starting to work our way through the Lord's Prayer. And I've titled this series, When God's People Pray. And we're in part two. We stopped last week to recognize two very distinguished gentlemen for being deacons and ordinating them and laying hands on them. I see they're here today, so that's a plus, that they didn't get scared and walk away and never come back again. So that's always a plus. But I was also thinking, last time we were in this, I didn't make you all recite the Lord's Prayer. And that's been kind of humbling to me because everyone should know the Lord's Prayer through entirety. And many people came up to me and said, why didn't you make us recite it? I would have recited it. I would have done that. Well, now you tell me. So guess what? We're going to recite the Lord's Prayer. So that way I don't get any of those little fusses coming back at me saying, we didn't recite it this time. So if you can, either you can turn in your Bible in Matthew 6, starting with verse 9, or you can recite it from memory, however you want to do it. But we're going to recite the Lord's Prayer. So starting with verse 9, it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Wow, that was pretty good. Just think, you only have 3 more weeks of this to listen and learn the Lord's Prayer if you didn't know it the first time. But with that, let us open up in prayer so that we can hear what God has to say about His prayer. If you will, join me in prayer. Lord, we come before you today acknowledging that you are not just our Savior. You are our King. We confess that too often we come to you with a list of requests, but not always with a surrendered heart. Teach us today what truly means to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Shape our desires, soften our hearts, teach us to trust you even when we don't understand you. As we open your word today, help us to see that the prayer is not simply asking you to change our circumstances. Prayer is also about allowing you to change us. We give you this time and we ask you to speak clearly through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, last time, we began our journey through the Lord's Prayer with two simple but powerful words, Our Father. Those words remind us that a prayer is not merely a religious exercise. Prayer is an invitation into a relationship. Because of Jesus Christ, we no longer approach God as strangers trying to earn His attention. We come as His children. We come into His presence because Christ has made a way. Hebrews 4:16 says, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What an incredible privilege. We learn that God is not a distant ruler waiting to condemn us. He is a loving Father who invites us to draw near with confidence. And notice where Jesus begins the prayer. He doesn't begin with, give me, help me, fix this, change that, please do this. He begins with, our Father. Everything about prayer changes when we understand who we're praying to. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Once we understand who God is, the next question becomes, who is in charge? It's one thing to call God Father. It's another thing to allow Him to be King. Many people enjoy the comfort of God's fatherhood while resisting the authority of His kingdom. We love His promises, we love His blessings, we love His forgiveness, but surrender? That's where many of us struggle. And that's exactly why Jesus immediately teaches us to pray, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Last week, Jesus taught us about access. Today, He teaches us about authority. Last time, we learned that we can come into God's presence. Today, we learned that when we come into His presence, we must also be willing to come under His authority. We move from relationship to surrender. And every child of God eventually has to answer one important question. Will I simply believe in God? Or where I allow him to rule my life. Most of us learned how to pray by listening to other people pray. We heard prayers around the dinner table. Bet you remember this one. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Amen. That was for the real hungry ones. Maybe we heard prayers at bedtime. Now I lay my head down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And then came the long list. God bless my mama, my daddy, my grandma, my dog, my cat, and my sister. That one was a little tough to spit out sometimes. And we heard prayers in church. Some prayers were short and sweet. Others felt like a second sermon. I remember quite a few of those. When that one guy got asked to pray, here we go. 5 minutes later, he finally said amen. Or maybe there were times right before the offering. Lord, lift us up a good offering today because we need it. Amen. And we took offering up. We've heard prayers in moments of crisis. And if we're honest, many of our prayers begin the same way. Lord, I need. Or God, please fix. Father, would you just? And there is nothing wrong with beginning our needs to God, bringing our needs to God. Jesus tells us to ask. He invites us to seek. He tells us to knock. God cares about our needs. But Jesus shows us something important in the Lord's Prayer. Prayer doesn't begin with our wants. It begins with God's rule. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That one sentence changes everything. Because prayer is not about getting God on our agenda. Prayer is about surrendering ourselves to his agenda. Prayer is not about changing God's mind. Prayer is about allowing God to change our hearts. And that is where surrender begins. When Jesus tells us to pray, your kingdom come, he is asking us to acknowledge something that goes against our natural instincts. Our culture tells us to build our own kingdom. Build your career, build your reputation, build your wealth, build your platform, build your life. But Jesus says, seek his kingdom. So before we can talk about surrendering our will, we have to understand whose kingdom we are surrendering to. Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, it says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is not simply a place, it is the rule and reign of God. It is where God's authority is recognized. It is where God's purposes are followed. It is where God's will is desired above our own. And Jesus came announcing that a different king has arrived. You see, earthly kings often rule through power. Jesus rules through love. Earthly kings demand that others serve them. Jesus came as the servant king who gave his life for others. Earthly kings build their kingdom by taking. Jesus built his kingdom by giving. And when we pray, your kingdom come, we are saying, Lord, take your rightful place in my life. Rule my thoughts. Rule my choices. Rule my priorities. Rule my relationships. Rule my future. Rule my heart. Because before God's kingdom can change the world around us, it must first change the world within us. And that brings us to the heart of the message. If God is king, then eventually his will and our will are going to collide. And when they do, we have a choice. Will I insist on my way, or will I surrender to his way? Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we are acknowledging something that doesn't come naturally to us. God sees more than we do. We see the moment. God sees the whole story. We see the inconvenience. God sees the purpose. We see the delay. God sees the direction. I can tell you from personal experience that some of the prayers I am most thankful for today are prayers God didn't answer the way I wanted him to when I asked him. There were doors I prayed, God, please open this. Please, this is the way I think you're leading me. And there were situations I prayed God would change immediately, but he didn't. There were seasons when I asked, Lord, why aren't you doing something? I don't feel you doing anything in my life right now. And looking back now, I can honestly say that if God had answered some of those prayers the way I asked, I probably would have walked into something that would have definitely harmed me, if not put me somewhere that I probably wouldn't see you all for at least 6 to 8 months. At that time, it felt God was withholding. In reality, he was protecting. Sometimes God says no, not because he doesn't love us, but because he loves us too much to give us something that would derail his purpose for our lives. When we pray, "Your kingdom come," we're saying, "Lord, I trust your wisdom more than my feelings. Lord, I trust your timing more than my impatience. Lord, I trust your plan more than my comfort." That's not always an easy prayer, but it is a powerful prayer. Romans 8:28 reminds us, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Now notice Paul didn't say that all things are good. Loss isn't good. Pain isn't good. Disappointment isn't good. But God is so sovereign that he can take even the deepest hurts of our lives and weave them into his greater purpose. When we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are choosing to trust the author of the story, even when we can only see one page. And when we recognize that God's ways are higher than ours, we come face to face with a decision. We can keep fighting for control, or we can surrender. Because one of the greatest obstacles to God's kingdom coming into our lives is often not a lack of faith. It is our desire to remain on the throne. We want God close enough to bless us, but not always close enough to change us. We want him as a savior, but sometimes we struggle to make him Lord. But Jesus shows us the doorway into God's kingdom is not found through control. It's found through surrender. And Jesus doesn't just teach us what surrender looks like. He shows us. Luke 22:42 says, "Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." If anyone could have insisted on his own way, it was Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus knew what was coming. He knew the pain, he knew the suffering, he knew the cross, and he prayed honestly, "Father, if there's any other way." But he didn't stop there. He continued, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." That is surrender at its deepest level. Notice something important. Jesus did not pretend he didn't have a preference. He didn't pretend the cross wouldn't hurt. He didn't deny his emotions. He brought his honest desire to his Father, but he placed his desire beneath his Father's will. That's what surrender means. Surrender doesn't mean we stop asking. Surrender means we stop demanding. Surrender means laying our plans, preferences, pride, and timelines at the feet of God and saying, "Lord, I want what you want, even if it costs me." That's difficult for us because we like control. It's the human nature. We like to know the outcome. We like to have a plan. And most of us here probably like to have a backup plan of the backup plan of the backup plan. But true surrender requires open hands instead of clenched fists. Abraham had to surrender to Isaac. Moses had to surrender to his excuses. David had to surrender his desires for revenge. The disciples had to surrender their plans for their lives. And Jesus surrendered himself completely to the Father's will. Now, every person who truly walks with God eventually reaches a moment when God asks, "Do you trust me enough to let go?" Surrender is not giving something to a God who wants to take from us. Surrender is giving something over to God who wants to give us something better. God is not trying to remove our joy. He is trying to remove the things that keep us from experiencing true joy. There have been moments in my own life when I prayed, but if I'm being completely honest, I wasn't really surrendering. I was saying, "Lord, here's what I want you to bless. Here's the plan I've already made. Here's what I need you to fix, preferably quickly, because I need it done today." And God, in his grace, began to show me what I wasn't really seeking his will. I was asking him to endorse mine. There came a point when I had to stop praying, Lord, help me get through this, and start praying, Lord, teach me what you're doing for me through this. That's the shift Jesus is teaching us. When we pray, your kingdom come, we're inviting God to rule, not just in heaven, but in our hearts. Jesus never asked us to surrender in a way he was unwilling to surrender himself. He walked the path before us. Philippians 2 tells us that Christ humbled himself and became obedient, even to death on the cross. Our obedience may cost us comfort, it may cost us popularity, it may cost us opportunities, but it will never cost us more than it cost our Savior. And every act of surrender brings us closer to the heart of God. But that raises another question. What happens when we surrender? Does surrender make life easier? Does it mean we'll never experience hardship? No. But surrender changes something far greater. It changes us. And when we surrender our will to God, we discover something we could never find through control, and that's peace. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established." Notice what this verse does not say. It doesn't say, do whatever you want and ask God to clean it up later. It says, commit your works to the Lord. When we stop fighting God's will, something changes inside of us. The circumstances may not change immediately, but we do. There's a place that comes when we stop striving, stop forcing, and stop trying to control outcomes that were never ours to control in the first place. Many times our greatest stress comes from carrying responsibilities God's never intended for us to carry. We try to control outcomes, we try to fix people, we try to predict the future. We try to carry tomorrow's burdens with today's strength. But Jesus says in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." God has not called us to control tomorrow. He has called us to trust him today. I've seen this over and over again, both in my own life and the lives of you all in this church. When someone finally reaches the place where they can honestly say, "Lord, I give this to you," and they truly mean it, the difficulty may still be there, the questions are still there, the answers may still be delayed, but something changes. There is a peace that settles in that wasn't there before, because peace isn't found in getting our way. Peace is found in trusting God's way. But here's where surrender becomes difficult. It's easy to say, "Your will be done," when God's will matches our desires. But what happens when his will leads us somewhere we never wanted to go? What happens when prayers go unanswered? What happens when life takes a turn we cannot understand? That is where faith moves from words into trust. Anyone can trust God when they understand. But mature faith trusts God even when it doesn't. Faith is not trusting God only when we can't see the whole picture. Faith is trusting God because we know the one who sees the whole picture. And sometimes life brings us to places where we have no choice but to wrestle with that truth. There are moments in life that have no explanation. There are moments when our hearts cry, "Lord, why? Why did this happen? Why didn't you stop it? Why didn't you answer the prayer that we asked for?" Those are some of the hardest moments in faith. Because surrender is easy when we understand, but surrender becomes real when we don't. Have you ever been to a funeral of a child or a teenager? That's one of the hardest things for us to understand. We can usually accept the death of someone who has lived a long life. That doesn't mean it isn't painful. We will miss them. But we understand that life eventually does come to an end. But a child, a teenager, someone whose life like seems to have just begun, we ask, "Why, Lord?" And sometimes we may never know the answer this side of heaven. I remember when my sister was in sixth grade, she had her best friend was coming over for a sleepover. And her mom had told my mom that she wasn't feeling too good, but she insisted that she didn't have a temperature, she wasn't like sick or anything like that, she just wasn't feeling well. But her mom told my mom that if she starts feeling worse, just call her, she'll come pick her up. Well, of course, they came over. me being the little brother, invested my way in, but some of the stuff they were talking about was sixth grade stuff and middle school stuff and girl stuff and all kinds of things that I didn't really know what was going on. So I kind of moseyed my way back out of that room, and they ate dinner, and then came midnight, my sister's best friend said, "I'm not feeling very good. You need to call my mom." So they did, and we took her home. Well, that night, she ended up at UVA. Within 2 days, she was gone. We had no idea what happened. There was something wrong with our heart. And we can't help but ask, why, Lord? Why? And I think about one of Lauren's sisters. Some of y'all probably heard that accident back on Super Bowl Sunday quite a few years ago on 130. She had gone from her house to Sheets. It was a 3-mile round trip. She never made it home. Many times we ask, why, Lord? Why? There are circumstances in this life that we may never fully understand. And I would never stand before someone in the middle of a deep grief and pretend to have an easy answer. But I do believe this. When we don't have the answers, we can still trust the one who does. We may never understand everything that happens on this side of eternity, but we can hold on to the character of God. He is still good. He is still faithful. He is still present. He is still God. And sometimes faith is not saying, Lord, I understand. Sometimes faith is saying, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you anyway. That's what it means to pray, your kingdom come. We're choosing trust over tension, faith over fear, surrender over control. And Jesus gives us this promise in John 14:27. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Notice what Jesus did not promise. He didn't promise the absence of storms. He promised his presence in the storm. The disciples learned that firsthand. The waves were crashing, the boat was rocking, the storm was real. But Jesus was there. And the same Jesus who carried his disciples through the storm is the one who carries us through ours. Peace is not found in having every answer. Peace is found in knowing the one who does. The beauty of God's word is that it never leaves us with information alone. It always calls us to transformation. Jesus didn't teach this prayer simply so we could memorize the words. He taught it so the words would reshape the way we live. So the question this morning is not, do I know the Lord's Prayer? The question is, does the Lord's Prayer describe my life? Have I truly surrendered my kingdom to His? Have I surrendered my plans? Have I surrendered my fears? Have I surrendered the things I keep trying to control? Because we cannot sincerely pray, your kingdom come, while still holding tightly to my kingdom first. So let's make this personal. What are you holding on to that God is asking you to release? Where are you insisting on your way instead of trusting God's will? What prayer have you been praying but without surrender? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a decision. Maybe it's your future. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's something you've been worrying about day and night. Maybe it's a hurt you don't understand. Maybe it's a dream you've been asking God to bless. To pray your kingdom come is to say, Lord, I give you control. Lord, I trust you, even here. Lord, I want your will more than my comfort. That's not weakness, that's faith. Now, as we come to the close of today's message, I want us to notice something powerful. Jesus did not teach us to pray, my kingdom come. He taught us to pray, your kingdom come. One little word changes everything. The difference between my and your is the difference between control and surrender. Every day we make a choice. Will I build my kingdom or God's? Will I follow my plans or trust his purposes? Will I hold on to control or place my life into the hands of my king? Because some of the greatest battles we face are rarely fought in public. They're fought in the quiet places of the heart. They're fought in those moments when God asks, do you trust me enough to let go? The truth is, surrender is not losing. Surrender is winning the battle that matters most. Because when we surrender our will to God, we discover that we're not giving up our freedom. We're finally finding true freedom. Real revival doesn't begin with our circumstances change. It begins when our hearts surrender. Families change when hearts surrender. Marriages change when hearts surrender. Churches change when hearts surrender. Communities change when hearts surrender. And the world will never truly see the kingdom of God through people who simply admire Jesus from a distance. It will see the kingdom through people who willingly follow him. Church, today Jesus has invited us to move deeper into our prayer life. Last week we learned our Father means we have access. We are welcomed, we are loved, we come boldly before him. But today we learn your kingdom come means we surrender. We don't just come into God's presence, we come under God's authority. We don't just ask him to hear our prayers, we allow him to shape our lives. So the question is not, does God have a kingdom? The question is, does God have my kingdom? Does he have my dreams? Does he have my future? Does he have my plans? Does he have my fears? Does he have my relationships? Does he have every part of me? Because the greatest prayer we can pray is not, Lord, change my circumstances. The greatest prayer we can pray is, Lord, change me. Now, before we pray, I want you to quietly ask yourself one question. Lord, is there anything in my life that I am still holding on to that you are asking me to surrender? Maybe God has already brought something to your mind. Don't ignore that moment. That is not condemnation. That is a gentle voice of loving Father inviting you to trust him. Last week, you came to God as a father. Today, he is asking you to trust him as a king. Pray with me. Lord, today we release our plans, our timelines, our expectations, and our desire for control. We confess that we don't always understand your ways, but we choose to trust your heart. Let your kingdom come in our hearts. Let your kingdom come in our homes, in our marriages, in our families, especially in our church. Teach us daily what it means to surrender and follow you fully. For the things we understand, give us gratitude. For the things we don't understand, give us faith. For the things we cannot control, give us peace. And for the things you are asking us to surrender, give us the courage to open our hands to let go. We place everything in your hands. Not our kingdom, not our will, not our way, but yours. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In your name, amen. Today, the same Jesus who taught us to call God our Father is inviting us to trust him as our King. The invitation today is not simply a prayer to pray a familiar prayer. The invitation is to surrender our lives to the one who knows us, loves us, and leads us. Maybe today you're carrying something you've been trying to control. Like I said, maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a decision. Maybe it's your future. Maybe it's a hurt you cannot understand. Maybe it's a dream, a plan, or a desire that you've been asking God to bless. But today, God is asking you a different question. Will you trust me enough to place it in my hands? This altar is a place of surrender. You don't come because you have everything figured out. You come because you're willing to let God lead. If you're struggling to surrender, if you're wrestling with God's will, if you've been praying, but deep down you know you're asking God to bless your plans instead of his, I invite you to come. Lay it down. Release it. Place it in the hands of your Father and your King. And pray the words Jesus taught us, not just with our lips, but with our lives. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Jessica.
Stand and sing our hymn of invitation, 366, I Surrender All.
Never love and trust.
Church, as we leave today, remember this. God does not ask us to surrender because he wants less for us. He asks us to surrender because he desires more for us. He is not trying to take control away from us. He is inviting us to our place, our lives under the care of the one who knows us best, loves us completely, and leads us faithfully. So this week, don't just pray, your kingdom come. Live it. And as we go out of here, hopefully in time, so don't rush over there. We're going to say a prayer and blessing of the food, and then you'll, for those who haven't been here before, we go out this door, take a left, take a right, and then take another right, and you'll be right there at the fellowship hall. Or just open the door and smell, follow your nose, and that'll be good enough. But I will ask that Glenn, Linda, and your family please go first once we finish, so don't rush out here just yet. Let them go through first, and then we'll dismiss. Carrie, would you be willing to say grace for us?
What a blessing it is to be in the Lord's house, right? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, dear Lord, we again thank you for this day you've given to us. Thank you for the message we've heard today. Thank you for the singing, dear God. And just thank you for all the blessings you give us each and every day. We're so glad that so many are here today, dear God, to praise you and worship you and have fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, dear Lord. And may we just give thanks to you, too, for the blessing of Glenn Coleman, who is been our minister for so many years. What a blessing he's been to us and his family has been to us, dear God. So just thank you so much for that. Lord, we ask you to bless this food today we're about to eat, and may it nourish our bodies so we can go out and do thy will, dear God. So we ask your blessings upon it. And Lord, just again, you have so many things to thank you for, but most of all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, your one and only Son, who died on the cross so our sins can be forgiven. In his name I pray. Amen.